Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. We're featuring highlights from a news conference held during the 2023 Black Conservative Summit at the Tenley Park Convention Center. The summit was organized by Dr. Eric Wallace, the co-founder and president of the Flossmoor-based Freedoms Journal Institute. Along with Dr. Wallace, you'll be hearing from Robert Woodson, Ken Blackwell, Larry Elder, and Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. They'll share their experiences and insights for a better America.
The Freedoms Journal Institute, we got the name from the newspaper, Freedoms Journal, the first black newspaper back in 1827. What really struck me is when I read it, that they were talking about how others had been speaking for them. They wanted to speak for themselves. And I felt the same way as a black conservative, that somehow our voice wasn't getting out there. You know, generally black liberals have the microphone, you know, especially with, you know, Black Lives Matter and all that other stuff happening. But even before that, we were somewhat splintered. And I said, well, what could I do? So we started Freedom Journal Magazine to try and aggregate the black conservative voice. You know, some of the first people we actually had in the magazine were, you know, Ken Blackwell and Larry Elder. And so we started building that. And then we decided, okay, what else can we do? Because I had letters in front of my name because I was an ordained pastor. And I had letters behind my name, a PhD in biblical studies. And I started thinking, okay, I want to do something more substantial than this. So we decided to do Freedom Journal Institute. And we decided to actually also do the Black Conservative Summit, which was bringing people together. I almost feel like this is a family, right? Because it's hard to find people that agree with us and are also willing to stand up and say something. But these gentlemen are willing to get up and say what's on their mind, stand up and push back against, you know, the woke society that's out there, and people run around saying that your boy can become a girl, or your girl can become a boy, that kind of thing. Our society has really gone crazy, and I thought it was time for us to do this again. We did it 10 years ago, our first one, and so here we are again after some time not doing it. It was time to, you know, think, hey, it's time to do something, and I'm going to shut up and let other people talk.
Bob Woodson, president and founder of the Woodson Center 43 years ago, veteran of the civil rights movement, left that movement on the issue of forced busing for integration. I believe that the opposite of segregation is desegregation, not integration. Anything is all black, it's all bad if you think it's integration is the goal. I am a strong advocate of applying old values to new vision. And I think that the civil rights movement in America has been poorly served by the lack of debate within the black community as to the past and present. What really got us to this moment was the co-authority debate. You had the recolonizationists, the people, the accommodationists, they had the Garvey movement, we had the Public of New Africa. There was spirited debate in one sense, but that's missing today, but it's desperately needed. And so what the Woodson Center has done is giving voice to the 3,000 grassroots leaders in 39 states that are part of our network. These are the people directly suffering the consequence of the assault on American values. And so what we have done in our publications is publicize. We believe that experience will always confront an argument, and a witness is more powerful than an advocate. And so what we have done in our writings and in our work is demonstrate that the values that are under assault by the left are critical, the values of family, faith, and country. This was a foundation upon which we were able to survive slavery and discrimination. And so what we have been doing is documenting this, but also giving voice. One quick example, 80% of blacks polled are against defunding the police. Only 60% of blacks do not believe racial discrimination is the principal barrier to their flourishing. But you would never know that. The reason that I'm here is because I think black conservatism, I call it a radical pragmatism. And what we try to do in our work is to prove that the values of this nation and that have sustained us is the foundation upon which thousands of people in the past have been able to engage in flourishing. When we were denied access to, in Chicago, where we are today, 19 There were 731 black-owned businesses. We had 1 million. We had millions and 100 million in real estate assets. In every town, you could do the same thing. If we were able to accomplish this in the presence of segregation and redlining, when our schools were successful, we had 5 major high schools in the turn of the century, used textbooks, crumbling buildings, half the budgets, and every one of them out-tested white schools. If we were able to accomplish, build hotels, railroads, colleges, and universities, and own in the Bronzeville section of Chicago that kind of real estate, why can't we do it today in cities that have been dominated by liberal black officials for the last 50 years? Obviously, the problem is not race. It is a moral and spiritual freefall that is consuming us and consuming every people. The highest form of suicide among teenagers in Silicon Valley is suicide. It's 6 times the national average. In the urban centers, it's homicide. In Appalachian whites, it's prescription drugs. If we are to address this more critical problem, we must move beyond race and deal with this moral and spiritual freefall. And that's what we're committed to doing.
Ken Blackwell, a native of Cincinnati, Ohio, grew up in the public housing community of Cincinnati, the Laurel Homes. My dad, when he came back from World War II, he and his returning veterans faced housing desegregation. And for the early part of my childhood, we grew up in public housing. And my dad and my mom saw it as transitional housing. They didn't see it as permanent housing. If I could start with what has brought me through 75 years, it is that they instilled upon me 3 things. They were fond of saying that there were 3 books that we better be familiar with. My grandmother, who was a housekeeper for 4 families, once told me when I was going off to the university, Xavier, on a football scholarship, she said, you know, I know a woman who cleans the library at Xavier University, and there are thousands of books at Xavier University. But we hope that we have, in fact, educated you and brought you up with a passion for 3 books. And she said, if, in fact, we have done our job, you will be able to conquer any of those thousands of books at Xavier University. And those 3 books, which we live by, were our date book, our checkbook, and the good book. The calendar or the date book told how you spent your time and with whom you spent it. The checkbook talked about how you managed the resources, no matter how meager or abundant. And what Bob was telling you about the way folks marshaled capital, took risks, built enterprises within our community. That was what it was all about, how folks managed and the stewardship that they put against the resources that they were able to amass. But more importantly was the good book. It in fact taught you how to choose the path of conviction over the path of convenience. And when we watch today, as all of us know, the march of relativism, this notion that there are no moral truths, no moral absolutes, that grounding in biblical truth that my family was able to instill in all of us over generations really gave meaning and shape to my activism and my activity. So I probably, when I was president of the Black Student Union at Xavier University, if somebody would have said Ken Blackwell is a conservative, they would have just started laughing. But if in fact you looked at what I was raised on, fundamentally understanding the dignity of human life, fundamentally understanding that the family is the incubator of liberty, and that all welfare states, totalitarian states, authoritarian states that I've visited in the 6 among the 63 countries that I've visited, what they knew then was the family was the most basic unit of governance, and that one, what made America unique, not perfect, but unique, was that there had been a harness placed on government to make sure that there was optimum individual liberty and responsibility. In those other forms of government, whether it's a welfare state or a totalitarian state, government was the provider of rights and freedoms, or at least that's what they promoted. And so I've always understood that we have human agency, something that God has invested in us, and that we, in fact, can affect the curve of history by being engaged. And so when I was with SNCC, when I was with CORE, the fact of the matter is, Bob will tell you, Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Clarksdale, Mississippi, what I was there doing was making sure that there was optimum individual freedom among all of God's people in the United States. I've been blessed. You know, I've been the mayor of my hometown. I've been the treasurer and secretary of state of my home state. I have been a U.S. ambassador, where I've, in fact, been in charge of the human rights portfolio at the United Nations. I've lived a blessed life, but I haven't forgotten those basic books. I look at who I associate with, how I spend my time, how I leverage my money. That's who I am. Conservatism, an appreciation of life, family, freedom, that's been in our DNA from the very beginning. And we, in fact, are not copycats. We are originators of Action for Freedom.
Dr. Eric Wallace, Robert Woodson, and Ken Blackwell during the 2023 Black Conservative Summit organized by the Freedoms Journal Institute. After time out, we'll share more from that event with Larry Elder and Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Join Allie Beth Stuckey and the Illinois Family Institute for the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, 7 p.m. Friday, September 6th at the Tinley Park Convention Center. For tickets, go to illinoisfamily.org.
Christianity brings civilization, goodness.
Allie Beth Stuckey, wife, mom, author, followed by thousands on her hit Relatable podcast. Hear her fresh and firm call for Christians to lead in Illinois, in America, for faith, family, and freedom. For tickets, go to illinoisfamily.org.
Christians have always been on the front lines of human progress, set in love.
Allie Beth Stuckey and the Illinois Family Institute's Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, Friday, September 6th at the Tinley Park Convention Center. For tickets, go to illinoisfamily.org, illinoisfamily.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Kelvin from Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights. It is time to get your children and grandchildren out of the godless government schools. How can we subject our loved ones to forced, ungodly psychological examinations and perverse sexual teachings? You would not send your child to a school that teaches 2 + 2 = 5. What is being taught today is far worse and damaging to minds and hearts. We can help through our on-campus Christian school and homeschool program. For over 55 years, we have operated a Christian school now in Arlington Heights, and we have served hundreds of thousands of families across our nation and foreign countries through our homeschool program, Christian Liberty Homeschools. Visit ChristianLiberty.com to learn more or to schedule a tour of our excellent 12-acre facility. Take action today. Visit ChristianLiberty.com, ChristianLiberty.com.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. We're featuring remarks made at a news conference during the 2023 Black Conservative Summit held at the Tinley Park Convention Center. That event was organized by the Freedoms Journal Institute. We've already heard from Dr. Eric Wallace, Robert Woodson, and Ken Blackwell, and now comments from Larry Elder and Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
Well, my name is Larry Elder. I have been doing television and radio since the mid-80s, and I was born and raised in Los Angeles. My father cleaned toilets when I was growing up. He had two full-time jobs cleaning toilets, and he cooked for a family on the weekend to make additional money because he wanted my mom to be a stay-at-home mom. And he went to night school two or three nights a week to get his GED because he left home, Athens, Georgia, at the age of 13 years old. My last name, Elder, is not the name of my dad's biological father. He never met him. Elder was a man who was in my dad's life the longest. He was irresponsible. He was physically abusive to my dad and to my dad's mom. And one day at the age of 13, my dad comes home and starts quarreling with his mother's then boyfriend. She sides with the boyfriend and throws my father out of the house, never to return. Athens, Georgia, Jim Crow South, at the beginning of the Great Depression. My dad took any job he could, ended up becoming a Pullman porter. They were the largest private employers of blacks in those days, and traveled all around the country, this little black boy from Georgia, and he came to a state called California once. And he was amazed at how sunny it was. People seemed to be less racist. and you could walk through the front door of a restaurant and get served. My dad made a mental note, maybe someday I'll relocate to California. Pearl Harbor, my dad joined the Marines. I once asked him why. Anybody who's in the military, Colonel, you know what I'm going to say. My dad gave two answers. He said, number one, they go where the action is, and number two, I love the uniforms. My dad gets out, and he was in charge of cooking for the colored soldiers because, as you know, the military was segregated in those days. And he goes back to Chattanooga, Tennessee. My dad could look at a cake and tell you what's in it. He wanted to get a job as a short order cook, and he walks around all day, and he's told, we don't hire niggers. My dad goes to an unemployment office. Lady says, you went through the wrong door. My dad goes out to the hall, sees colored only, goes to that door to the very same lady who sent him out. My dad came home to my mother and said, this is nonsense. I'm going to L.A. I'm going to get me a job as a cook, and I will send for you. My dad comes out to L.A., walks around for a day and a half. I'm sorry, you have no references. My dad said, I need references to make ham and eggs. Goes to an unemployment office, this time just one door. Lady says, I have nothing. My dad says, what time do you open? She says, 9. What time do you close? He says, 5. And he sat in a chair for a day and a half. She calls him up. She says, I have something. I'm not sure whether you're going to want it. My dad said, of course I'm going to want it. I'm going to start a family. What is it? She says, a job with Nabisco brand bread cleaning toilets. My dad did that for 10 years, took a second job at another bread company called Barbara Ann Bread, did that for 10 years, and as I said, cooked for a family and went to night school. The man never slept, which is why he was always so grouchy. And my dad, though, always told my two brothers and me the following. My dad was a lifelong Republican, and he had a problem with Democrats. He said, Democrats want to give you something for nothing. And when you try to get something for nothing, you almost always end up getting nothing for something. And my dad told my brothers and me, hard work wins. You get out of life what you put into it. You cannot control the outcome, but you are 100% in control of the effort. And before you moan or groan or whine about what somebody did to you or said to you, go to the nearest mirror, look at it, and say to yourself, what could I have done to change the outcome? And finally, my dad said this, no matter how hard you work, how good you are, sooner or later, bad things are going to happen to you. How you address those bad things will tell your mother and me if we raised a man. You have two people at this table who have run for governors of their respective states. Ken ran for Ohio. I ran for California. And my most contentious interview was a virtual interview I had with about 6 or 8 black pastors. And everything was going reasonably well until I told them that the number one problem facing the black community was not systemic racism, not police brutality, but the large number of kids who enter the world without a father in the home married to the mother. And instead of them supporting me, saying hallelujah, they jumped all over me. And I said, you are the problem. You are opinion shapers. You are role models in the community, and you are ignoring the 10,000-pound elephant in the room, which is the large number of kids who entered the world without a father married to the mother. And I said, forget about elder. Barack Obama once said, a kid raised without a father is 5 times more likely to be poor and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to end up in jail. Now, the question you all ought to be asking is, how do we go from having 25% of black kids entering the world without a father in the home married to the mother in 1965 to today? You can't tell me today is more racist than it was back in 65. What we've done with our welfare state is we've incentivized women to marry the government, and we've incentivized men to abandon their financial and moral responsibility, and we should be addressing that issue. And that is why I am here. Bob Whipson, I've known Bob for about 30 years, and Colonel West was in my movie that I executive produced, and that's why I'm here, because that is the number one problem. Virtually everything else we talk about, whether it's bad schools, and Lord knows we have them, we need school choice, whether it's crime, it all starts from the breakdown of the family. I dare say if you interview the kids that were out in the streets during the George Floyd or BLM riots of 2020 and ask them if they had a father in the home, the black ones, I bet you almost all of them will say they did not. Let me just end with one quick thing. There's a book by James Robeson called My Father's Face, and it's about homelessness, fatherlessness, rather. And he talks in the book about a prison chaplain who wanted to improve the morale of the prison. So he goes to one of the major greeting card companies and gets 500 greeting cards for Mother's Day. And they thought it would be a good PR campaign, so they gave them to him for free. So he handed them all out to the men in the prison, and morale did, in fact, improve. Father's Day rolled around. I think you know where I'm going with this story. They went to the same place, got 500 cards for Father's Day. Not a single inmate wanted to send one to his father, not one. It is far and away the biggest problem facing this country. And our side, meaning the conservative side, Republican side, or whatever side you're on, we do not talk enough about it, and that's why I'm here.
Lieutenant Colonel Allen West, also former member of the 112th United States Congress, and currently the executive director for the American Constitutional Rights Union. Why am I here? It's very simple. You know, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, and that was the oath that my dad took. He served in World War II. My older brother took. He served in Vietnam, and the oath that my nephew took, and he's about to take command of an artillery battalion just like his old uncle did 21 years ago. This country is near and dear to my heart. And when I think about what all these gentlemen have talked about, this is about fundamentals. When you're on a battlefield, there are certain fundamentals that you have to execute if you want to have victory. And we've gotten so far away from the fundamentals of the United States of America and also in the black community. We've talked about faith and family and a freedom. That's where it really comes from. And we have allowed certain people and certain voices to dictate the narrative and to undermine those critical aspects and foundations of what was really a strong and venerable community, because it was based on faith and family, and therefore we had our freedom. We had our economic freedom. We had our independence, but now we have come completely economic dependent. Why do I think that it's a great thing that this Black Conservative Summit is right here in Chicago? Because every single one of the ills that you see in the black community are right here in this city in Chicago. And I find it hard to believe, because this was a city that was founded by a black Frenchman, Jean-Baptiste Point du Sable. And we don't even have kids, I think, to know that. But they know all of these other crazy things that are out there. When I hear about this Black Lives Matter, what does an organization that was founded by avowed Marxists have to do with the black community? And furthermore, we should be asking, which Black Lives Matter? Because the black lives that are out there without fathers, they don't seem to matter. The black lives, what, 25 million or so that have been murdered in the womb since Roe v. Wade, 1973, Margaret Sanger, they don't seem to matter. The lack of small business entrepreneurship, that doesn't seem to matter. All of these things. And so we have got to take the narrative back. And one of the things I love about being a paratrooper is that we go in behind enemy lines. And I think we have a reticence and recalcitrance of doing that. And that's why I'm glad we're here in Chicago, and hopefully we can make a lot of noise. But I think we need to rotate this around to every major urban population center in the United States of America, where you see the failure of the progressive socialist leftist policies. Now, the other thing that is about crumbling our foundation, I once stood up against the very ideology that I see overtaking my country. Marxism, socialism, communism, statism, and here it is in the United States of America. I would have never thought that, but here it is, and all because we have so many people in our community, especially our pastors, who are refusing to stand up and say this. When I see a Black Lives Matter flag on a church, really? When I see a rainbow flag on a church, I mean, come on. Once upon a time, the rainbow represented the covenant that God made with Noah to say that we were never again going to destroy this earth by water. But now we have allowed a certain group of people to take that symbol of God's covenant and use it for their own secular humanist agenda. And so we have got to get back to standing up and fighting for our fundamental principles and values, our foundations. And that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm honored to continue on the great fight of some incredible men that are sitting here at this table. But the most important thing is that I've got to pass the torch of liberty and freedom onto subsequent generations, or else we will lose the greatest nation. And as we say in the military, the strength of a unit is only as strong as its weakest element. And so if the black community continues to be weak, the United States of America will be weak. So we need a strong black community. And I think when you have a strong black community, you're going to have a strong America. So thank you.
Lieutenant Colonel Alan West and Larry Elder during the 2023 Black Conservative Summit at the Tinley Park Convention Center. Our thanks to Dr. Wallace and the Freedom's Journal Institute for allowing us to record the speaker's remarks. Also, join Ali Beth Stuckey and the Illinois Family Institute for the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, Friday, September 6th at the Tinley Park Convention Center. For tickets, go to illinoisfamily.org or call 708-781-9328. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. To give, go to illinoisfamily.org and go there to sign on for IFI email updates. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. And until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.